Panama Jones and His 3,000 Thieves. First Lieutenant Bill Calhoun felt two rough hands shake him awake. The tropical sun was blinding as he opened his eyes and tried to focus on the massive shadow over him. Slowly, the grizzled, unshaven face of an Aussie bulldozer driver wearing a broad smile came into focus. "Merry Christmas, Yank," the man said in his thick Australian accent. "Merry Christmas," Calhoun muttered back, sitting up and rubbing his eyes. The Aussie moved on, and after a moment, Calhoun climbed out of his bedroll and stood in the morning brightness, lighting his first cigarette of the day. He was a lean young man, only 22, with a thin mustache and wavy, thick, dark hair. Despite his youth, he had a Western gunfighter's seasoned squint, and at times his mouth wore a mischievous smirk. Like millions of young American men, he was far from home, fighting a war that sprawled from one end of the planet to the other. But unlike most, he wore the jump boots of a paratrooper. All around him, the 40 paratroopers in his unit climbed out of bunkers and fighting positions to stretch stiff joints or light up their own smokes. Calhoun was their leader, in charge of F Company's first platoon. The Aussie who had awoken him was part of a construction crew tasked with building an airfield on Mindoro Island, which the men of the 503rd Parachute Infantry Regiment had taken only days before. Mindoro's expanse of flat sugarcane fields made it an ideal location from which to launch fighters, bombers, and transports in preparation for General MacArthur's upcoming assault on Manila, which lay less than 200 miles north. It was December 1944, and for the last 2.5 years, American forces in the Pacific had been slowly island-hopping toward Tokyo. At first, the war had gone well for Japan, with the seizure of the Philippines, as well as strategic islands that had been occupied by the Dutch and the British. But with a punishing defeat at the hands of the U.S. Navy at Midway, Japan's crusade had begun to sour, and General MacArthur's victory in New Guinea had accelerated their crisis. Back in 1942, MacArthur had famously declared, in reference to the Philippines, "I shall return." And now, as America was grinding into a fourth year of global war, U.S. troops were indeed closing in on Manila. MacArthur's plan was to begin the invasion of Luzon, where Manila was located, soon. Calhoun and his paratroopers of the 503rd had arrived on Mindoro not from the belly of a C-47, but across the ramp of an LCI, or landing craft, infantry. They were met not by a well-armed and dug-in enemy force, but by an uncontested beach. American patrols encountered only light resistance. After several days of stalking the island's jungles, Calhoun got a new mission: defend the nascent airfield and Australian construction crew against any Japanese harassment that might emerge from the brush. Such an order was an insult for the paratroopers of the 503rd Parachute Infantry Regiment. It was bad enough that they had arrived in LCIs, like regular infantry. They didn't see themselves as guards. They were combat troops, the very same men who had made the first combat parachute assault in the Pacific Theater. They were the airborne, for Christ's sakes. Airborne units were still new to the Army. The Soviets had been the first to test parachute assaults, but the German attack on Crete in 1941, during which some 20,000 German paratroopers dropped onto the Allied-held fortress and seized it in a brutal 2-week battle, was the catalyst. It was the first large airborne invasion at the time, and though the Germans had suffered heavy losses, the success of their Fallschirmjäger reminded American generals that the United States badly needed their own airborne troops to be combat ready. The U.S. Army was already testing the concept. Soldiers from the 29th Infantry Division formed a test platoon of airborne infantry. It conducted the first U.S. Army parachute jump from a B-18 over Lawson Army Airfield at Fort Benning, Georgia, in August 1940.